Heads up, today's episode contains some salty language that might not be suitable for small kids. Hey everyone, I'm Ellen Mayer, and you're listening to Illinois. It's a podcast answering your questions about our state government, how it works, how it doesn't work, and how it impacts your life. Today, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but mostly, we're talking about power. Our question comes from Kayla Ginsburg. Kayla's an artist, and she actually designed the very fun logo for this podcast. She submitted her question through the Illinois website, and I wanted to know a little bit more about it. So I went over to Kayla's house in Chicago's Logan Square for a chat. Do you remember what your question was, or should I refresh your memory?
I think it was really basic. I think it was just like, I don't understand the hierarchy of Illinois politics. Like, what role has power over what other roles? And I know that, like, Illinois, I know that people get like too obsessed with just Chicago when we're in Chicago. But I'm also like, how do aldermen interact with the mayor? How does the mayor interact with state representatives? Like, I don't even know.
And, you know, what made you, was there something in particular that made you think of this question?
Well, we have these primaries coming up. And last time that I voted, I remember looking at this massively long list of judges and aldermen and roles that I don't even remember anymore. And I hadn't really done a ton of research beforehand. And I felt nervous just voting for people that I didn't know. And I felt really frustrated and like disappointed in myself. But I would love to have a flowchart of like Illinois political power. I think like I want to be a more civically engaged citizen, and I just don't know how. And so figuring out like where the power is and what power I have power over would be really helpful for me.
Illinois is supposed to be about state government and how it works. But there are lots of other governments in Illinois. There's counties and cities and townships. And I think Kayla's question points to a larger confusion that I definitely share about which government does what. My goal for this episode is to clear up some of that confusion. But first, there's a catch. Remember that Kayla has asked me to lay out the hierarchy of local governments in Illinois. But I'm not sure if hierarchy is exactly the right word, because it implies that one governing body has power over another, or it implies that one person, like the governor, has power over someone else, like the mayor of Rockford. I don't think that's exactly right. I asked Adam Heenan to help me iron out this little wrinkle. He used to teach civics in a Chicago public school, and here's what he had to say.
Well, I think to Kayla's question, it makes sense because we think in terms of geographically, a city is smaller than a county, is smaller than the state, to think of that in terms of a hierarchy. But it might be more helpful to think of the relationship between these government structures as more of a Venn diagram or even concentric circles in which there's realms of influence, and sometimes those realms will overlap.
What if a city wants to do something that is against state law? Can the state kind of be like, too bad, we are your boss?
Most of the time, yes. However, there are exceptions, and the one exception in Illinois is what's called home rule. In 1970, we passed a state law in which cities of over 250,000 can actually change some of the state laws and have them not apply.
What about kind of individual players? You know, is the governor the boss of the General Assembly, or is that not how that works?
It's not how it works. However, there is veto power. Right. You know, one of the things that we'd always learned in my civics course is, you know, those checks and balances.
So basically, the conclusion that we've come to here is that
nobody's really anybody's boss, except when state law might trump a local law.
That's a good way to put it.
Adam's going to come back later in the episode to help us think through Kayla's question. In the meantime, we've established that hierarchy isn't the right word, but that doesn't mean I can't answer Kayla's question. It just means that we have to think in more squishy terms of concentric circles and realms of influence. So I went out and did my research about city, county, and state government. And then I came over to Kayla's house once again, and I asked her to quiz me on what I had learned, just in time for Election Day.
Okay, so first of all, did you vote today?
Actually, I voted yesterday.
Ugh, mazel tov. Good job.
Thank you. Are you going to be voting today?
I am voting right after this. I'm very excited.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, so first, my first question to you is about city government.
Okay.
Who is in charge of city government?
So the answer is that the mayor and city council are in charge of city government. And city council is made up of aldermen. So there's kind of an interesting divide here because for the citywide level, the mayor proposes a budget and proposes legislation or ordinances, and the city council votes on that material. But then individually, each alderman is in charge of their own ward. So they actually have a fair amount of power over their own little ward. They have a budget that they can use to like organize some local services, and they're in charge of things like zoning. So,
okay. So basically like they have their own budget and that extends over what areas of like responsibility that they have.
Things like maybe a playground or maybe a, you know, honorary street name, things that kind of shape the landscape a little bit really locally in your ward, they can put their budget toward that.
Okay, that's really interesting. I didn't know that they had a budget. Mm-hmm. In terms of decision-making power over citywide issues, is that something that the mayor like actually needs all of the aldermen to agree on certain decisions, like, or is the mayor sort of a freewheeling? Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the answer is, I think it's different in different parts of Illinois. So a city government, say in Peoria, might be a little bit different than in Chicago, but in Chicago, we do have something notable, which is that aldermen tend to always vote how the mayor wants.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the mayor does have a significant amount of power in terms of legislating, you know, making decisions about what our ordinances and laws will be in the city. And the aldermen, for the most part, tend to vote, okay, whatever the mayor wants. And in return, they get a lot of autonomy over their wards.
Okay. So you wouldn't say that the city council and the mayor are on equal power terms.
That's true. I think that aldermen still wield some power. I think that they are able to wield their influence, but it's kind of more in backroom conversations with the mayor, perhaps, than in public votes in city council.
Next question, what do they have power over city government? I'm assuming the city.
Yeah, so it is geographical. We can start with that. But then the city is contained within the county, is contained within the state.
Right.
So there are certain things that the city does not control, right? Like they don't control highways because that's the state's purview. So some things that you can think about kind of small scale that are clearly under the control of city government, things like streets and sanitation, the police, Chicago public schools, those all kind of fall under the purview of city government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving on to the county government.
Yes.
Who is in charge of the county government? Wait, let me guess. The governor. No, wait, I don't know. Oh my gosh. Okay.
This is hard. Yeah, the county is the piece that was the most mysterious to me when I started researching this. So the county government is made up of a board of county commissioners and the president of said board. It's not that different from, say, a city government or a state government in the sense that you do have representatives. Each commissioner represents a district of the county, and then you do have an executive who is the president of the board, who we also elect.
Okay, great, great, great. And then what do they have power over in terms of the county.
I would say a really big one that you might be most aware of here in Chicago is a health system. You know, there is a Cook County hospital system, which is a public hospital. The city does not operate a public hospital. The county does. The county also controls the courts and the jails. So if you're interested in kind of criminal justice issues, the county is kind of the place to be for that. And then, you know, in other parts of the state, the county might really be the most significant local government in the sense you might not have a big city like Chicago that takes care of that many of its services itself. So in that case, the county might be a much more significant player in terms of emergency services, coordinating, you know, fire and emergency response between many different small townships.
Okay, and now we get to move on. Moving on up to who is in charge of the state government.
Yes.
Okay, so let me guess. The governor.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
You did it. But it's the governor and the General Assembly, right? Which is made up of the House of Representatives and the state Senate. So there are these checks and balances, and it's not just the governor who's in charge. The governor has to work alongside or sometimes against, depending on who's in power, the General Assembly.
And then state government, what does state government have power over?
So a lot of things. You know, they set laws that affect the whole state. So education policy might get decided at the state level, which we'll talk about more in a little bit. But then they also have control over, you know, certain statewide public services. So the state university system, state parks, state highways, all of that is controlled by our state government.
Okay, so let's just say if they're in charge of education policy, but we have individual boards of education, right, for each city. So how do those city boards of education interact with the General Assembly laws around education policy?
I am so glad you asked.
Yay.
Kayla and I agreed that maybe it would be easier to think through her question if we focused on a particular issue that she cared about. She told me that she really cares about local education and public schools, so that's where Adam Heenan comes back in. You remember him? He's the guy with the gravelly voice that I spoke to at the very beginning of this episode.
But it might be more helpful to think of the relationship between these government structures as more of a Venn diagram or even concentric
Adam
circles.
Used to teach civics and social studies in a Chicago public school. Now he lives in Bloomington, Illinois, and he works as a field rep for the Illinois Federation of Teachers. I asked him to explain how different government bodies wield power and influence over local public schools. He was happy to help, but he did want me to let you know that he's speaking for himself here and not as a spokesman for the Illinois Federation of Teachers. So starting here at the state level, can Kayla's representatives pass laws at the state level that would impact a school in her neighborhood?
So absolutely. I think a good example of this would be a few years ago, Illinois decided to be part of the PARC testing. PARC stands for the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness in College and Careers. And it was then fell into the Illinois State Board of Education's responsibility to write the rules and determine how to implement PARC testing across all of the schools in Illinois.
So, you know, for those listening at home, PARC is a new name, but probably anyone is familiar with having to take a standardized test at some point in school.
Yeah, when I was in school, it was the ISATs.
And you mentioned just now the Illinois State Board of Education. So is that a part of the state government? Is that like a part of the executive branch?
It is a part of the executive branch. So they serve at the direction of the governor in implementing what laws are passed.
Got it. So that covers the state level. And now kind of looking more at the local level, who is actually in charge of local schools? Is it the city government? Is it the county government? Is it a different body altogether? How does that work?
Oftentimes, it's a different body altogether. It'll be a local school district. And there are school districts that are based by city, but some of them are based by county as well. But it's its own usually elected body. And I say usually because in Chicago, they're not elected. But in most of the places, they would be elected and you'd see them on a ballot in March or in November. And that's where you see some kind of accountability. Now, a school board will be first and foremost in charge of hiring and firing a superintendent. They would also approve of a budget and handle personnel issues or, you know, policies that come up in kind of the same way that Congress would or that a ward would.
So what you're telling me is that a school board is another of those concentric circles of government.
That's right.
So you mentioned this kind of crucial detail that Chicago does not have an elected school board. The board members are actually appointed by the mayor. Has Chicago always operated this way?
It's only had an unelected school board since 1995.
And do you know why that change was made?
Yeah, there were complaints in the 80s and 90s about the quality of education. And a lot of blame was to go around. And the blame was put mostly on the superintendents and the school board at the time. There was a lot of politicking that was happening at the city level.
Around, in Chicago? No.
Yeah. And in so doing, the mayor, Richard M. Daley, went to the Illinois state legislature, the Illinois General Assembly, and said, I want mayoral control. It was a new concept. I think it was either one of the first or one of the very few who had first done this at the time.
So let's get back to our question asker, Kayla, for a second. If she wants to change something about local education, what does it actually mean for her that Chicago's school board is appointed rather than elected?
Well, I think it helps to illustrate what happens when you walk in the room. So in most cases, you are a citizen. You're going to advocate on behalf of your issue to your school board. You'd get time at a microphone probably once a month to say your piece. If you don't like the results, you ultimately have an option to vote out those individuals. In Chicago, however, you still get time at the microphone. What usually happens is that microphone then is cut after 2 minutes. And then oftentimes the decision-making process is they either hear it or they say they hear it, and then they go off into a closed-door session, which is allowable by law, and then make decisions outside of the public eye. Ultimately, the only level of accountability there is to the mayor, because the mayor gets to appoint those individuals.
So I wanted to ask you about city council. That is an elected body. They are accountable to their voters. So do they have any power over, you know, what happens in public schools in terms of curriculum or anything like that?
Well, again, it's influential power. The school board has the ultimate authority in decision making, but an alderman can advocate in their ward and with other aldermen for things that they want. Let's say they wanted to express how they feel about a certain charter school or school closure in their neighborhood. They always have the microphone to be able to do that.
So going back to Kayla's question about the hierarchy of government, we've established that hierarchy might not exactly be the right word, but depending on the issue, one representative might have more power than another to actually make change. And more importantly, one representative might be more willing to actually champion Kayla's cause. So I want to kind of review her options here. She can go to her alderman, but as you said, he has limited power to actually impact local school policy. She can speak at a hearing before the CPS board, but because the board is appointed, they don't really have any real incentive to represent Kayla's interests. Then she can go to her state representatives. And in her case, her state senator is Omar Aquino, who is on the education committee in the Senate. And Kayla is a voting resident of his district, which means it is his job to represent her interests. And he would actually have some power to write new laws, propose laws, change laws that would impact schools in her neighborhood. So is that the place that you would recommend Kayla start if she wanted to use kind of the traditional structure of the government to make change in local schools?
Yeah, I would. I think State Senator Aquino would be a good starting point. I would also encourage Kayla to not go it alone. If Kayla can get 5 to 10 or 15 more Kaylas to go up to Senator Aquino, that makes it really hard for him to avoid her.
Okay, so Kayla, do you have any kind of like, what's your impression on what you have learned?
I mean, first of all, it makes me feel really fucking excited about like public government, which I never thought that I would be excited about. And I like never am someone that was
thought to themselves like, oh, maybe I would want to run for a school board or like something. But understanding this, it feels like there is actual power in these roles that have actual effects on like how our city potentially or like state is run, especially around education. And it feels really depressing to me that that is like stymied by the non-representative school board of Chicago. And seems like next, maybe next activist thing I should focus on is like re-getting that, those positions to become elected positions instead of appointed positions.
So having had this discussion and learned what we talked about today, do you feel better equipped to understand your ballot today?
Yeah. I mean, I obviously the power of city and county and state is not like hierarchy is not the right word for that. But I think that it's really hard to see what's beyond your city in terms of political power, especially in Chicago, where the city's systems are so weirdly unique and kind of opaque. And so, yeah, so this feels like much more transparent. I feel like I understand more. And I'm going to go vote the hell out of those commissioners.
We just covered a lot of information today, and we only just scratched the surface. So if we mentioned anything today that you'd like to know more about, please send me a question. Maybe you want to know more about the State Board of Education. Or maybe you're thinking, that's all well and good for Chicago, but how does state policy impact rural townships? Whatever you're wondering, send it to me at illinoispodcast.com. That's Illinois, spelled with an E. Also, you might remember that Kayla said she wanted a flowchart to help her understand all these different levels of government. But this is a podcast, and I'm not a particularly visual person. So I asked Kayla, our resident artist, if she'd be willing to try and visualize all the information that we discussed today. And she said, yes. So if you're a visual learner, head over to our website to see how Kayla has sketched out this episode. Illinois is produced by me, with help from a lot of folks. Our theme music is by Jacob Chaparro. Kayla Ginsberg designed our logo. Andrea Hart provided editorial guidance on this episode. And Daniel Kisslinger is an all-around champion. I'm Ellen Mayer, and I'll see you next time on Illinois.